Please now turn in your Bibles to Amos chapter 1, and I shall read verses 1 to 2. So that's Amos chapter 1, verses 1 to 2. The words of Amos, one of the shepherds of Tekoa, what he saw concerning Israel 2 years before the earthquake, when Uzziah was king of Judah, and Jeroboam, son of Jehosh, was king of Israel. He said, "The Lord roars from Zion and thunders from Jerusalem. The pastures of the shepherds dry up, and the top of Carmel withers." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Sue, for reading that for us. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we pray, please, that now as we start to look at the book of Amos, so you would teach us and by your Spirit open our eyes to who you truly are and help us to respond to you with humility. Amen. People quite like to be a little bit frightened. I think that's why some people go for horror films. I'm not a big fan of them myself, but some people go for them. And maybe this is also why we quite like going to the zoo and going and seeing the lions. And if you go and see the lions and it's feeding time, all the better. Because to see those animals, those beasts, ripping into flesh, to see them with their vicious claws and their powerful jaws biting and devouring meat is quite impressive. And it gives you a bit of a chill down the spine. Of course, if you were to take the safety glass away, that would be a different matter. Then it wouldn't be an exciting thrill, it would be terrifying. And that's the image that we have at the beginning of the book of Amos. The Lord roars from Zion. It is an image of a lion roaring. And Amos chapter 1 verse 2 is like a heading for the whole book, gives us the theme for the whole book, that the Lord is roaring. Don't look away. Don't hide your eyes from who God truly is, because this is who God is. He's not the sort of figment of our imaginations where we will like to think of God as being just like a gentle and kind uncle who would never possibly get cross. He's not like we can say, I like to think of God as always kind and loving. To think like that is to enter the lion's den and to say, I like to think of lions as cuddly herbivores. We're in for a shock. This is the real God. And he is frightening. After all, what does Proverbs say about the Lord? It says in Proverbs chapter 1, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's the very beginning of knowledge. It's like the theological first steps. The very basic thing that you can do when it comes to relating to the Lord is fear him. Do you? Do we? Do we fear God the way that we should? In your worship of him, is there any fear? Or maybe your worship of God has become mundane. Or it's just become very matey. Well, we need to remember who God really is. Now, on the notes, and we'll send this out by email as well, I've put some Bible verses. And I'd love you to use those Bible verses. I'm not going to go through them now, but use them in your quiet times during this week. Use one each day. And just at the beginning of your quiet time, use that verse, use one of those verses, and just think about it. Meditate on it. Think about what it says about God. Well, the book of Amos begins with the Lord as a lion roaring. And there are three things I want you to see about the lion's roar from these first couple of verses. And the first is that the roar has been a long time coming. The opening verse of the book sets us in a historical context. It says, these are the words of Amos. Now, we'll come back to him in future sermons. But then he says when this took place, when he prophesied. He says it was 2 years before the earthquake. Now, we don't know when that was. But he also says who the kings were. It was Uzziah, king of Judah, and Jeroboam, son of Jehoash. Now, we know that that's 8th century BC. And that, therefore, sets us at a particular time within Old Testament history. And we need to remember where we are in that history. You see, there have been hundreds of years of God dealing with his people. This isn't the first thing that God says to his people. After all, if it was, they could justifiably think, God is just terrifying. He's a roaring lion. You mustn't approach him. He's just terrifying. But there have been hundreds of years of God dealing with his people, right back to the beginning of Genesis, right back to God choosing Abraham and choosing his descendants. And what you see throughout the Old Testament is that over and over again, God has provided for his people. He has provided for them land. He's provided for them blessings in so many ways. He's provided for them the law and told them how to live. He's provided, and yet the people have rebelled. They've turned against God over and over again, but God has forgiven them. He's been so patient with them. And this has been for hundreds of years until we get to here where God says, my patience has run out. In the Old Testament, one key moment where God reveals himself to Moses and says what he is like. This is how God describes himself. He goes past Moses and says, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. You see, God is saying, I'm generous, I'm loving, I'm compassionate. And that is what you see throughout the Old Testament. And therefore, when you get to the beginning of the book of Amos, and we're at the point in Israel's history where you've had King David and you've had Solomon and the nations have divided, and now you get to this point and you see that the Lord is roaring. He is a roaring lion. You should ask yourself, why? What have the people done to make this loving, compassionate, forgiving God into a roaring lion who is ready to pounce? Now, we're going to see as we go through Amos what it is that has caused God to react in this way. But just for the moment, I want you to see, yes, God is a roaring lion, but he has been so patient. And God is still patient today. You see, there is a warning. God is a roaring lion, and his patience will come to an end. Alec Mateer, in his commentary on Amos, says that God's face towards the world is mostly one of mercy, and when wrath comes, it comes late and overdue. God is patient, but his patience will come to an end. And we need to be careful that we don't mistake God's patience for indifference. If we rebel against God, if we turn away from God and reject God and ignore him, then we might well find that life is okay. It's not so difficult. And so we might think, well, God obviously isn't bothered. You know what? In Amos's day, things were quite good for God's people. It was a time of peace and prosperity and luxury for many. But God is saying, enough is enough. Don't mistake God's patience for indifference. And if we're rebelling against God, if you're rebelling against God, don't assume that God is okay with that. No, his patience will come to an end. Second thing to see about this roar of the Lord. You can't run from the lion's roar. Notice in verse 2 the effects of the roar of this lion of the Lord. So verse 2, he said, "The Lord roars from Zion and thunders from Jerusalem. The pastures of the shepherds dry up and the top of Carmel withers." In other words, that's saying the effects of this roar, the blast of the roar, affect everywhere throughout the land. It has that power, like the explosion that you saw in Beirut, that awful explosion, and the power that went out from there. And yet it's going throughout the land. And that's what he's saying. He uses the extremes, doesn't he? He says the pastures of the shepherds and the top of Carmel. He's kind of saying this is the whole land. It's from the plains where the shepherds are to the top of the mountains. It's from the south where Amos would have taken his sheep to the very north where the mountains are. It's sort of saying this is the whole land. This is everywhere. And it is all affected by the roar of the lion. The pastures dry up. The mountains wither. That is the power of this roar. No one escapes. And we need to realize that about God's judgment. That when it does come time for God to judge, there is no escape. And maybe there are some watching this who are running from the Lord at the moment. Maybe, as I've said, things are going quite well for you. Maybe you went to church in your childhood or teenage years and you know it's true. You know that the gospel is true, but you're running away from the Lord. You're denying it. Well, you can't run forever. You can't outrun God. And so if you can't run from the lion, from the lion's roar, what's the answer? Well, the only escape is to run to the lion. Now, I just want to stress, that is not a tip for you if you are actually confronted with a lion, say on the plains of Africa. I'd hate it if that was you, someone watching this at some point in the future goes to Africa and they're on the plains, they see a lion in front of them and their memory goes back to the sermon that Bart preached and you think, what do I do now? And you think, I run towards the lion. Just don't do that if that's a lion in Africa. But this lion, the Lord, the only escape you've got is to run towards him. Now you see this through the rest of the book. In chapter 5, verse 6, it says, "Seek the Lord and live. Go to the lion." And there are hints in these verses as well. Did you spot where the Lord roars from? It says, "The Lord roars from Zion and thunders from Jerusalem." Now, it's significant that it's Jerusalem, because Jerusalem was in the south, in the southern kingdom, in Judah. And Amos has gone to the north, to Israel in the north. And they've set up their own places for worshipping the Lord. And we'll see them later on in the book. And God is saying, I roar from Jerusalem. That's the place that I've chosen. That's the place where you should worship me. But Jerusalem is also significant because of what's in Jerusalem. What's there? there's the temple. And the temple is a place of wrath and mercy. You see, if you were an Israelite and you've sinned, if you've rebelled against God, the temple was the place you could go to, and you would take an animal with you. And that animal would be sacrificed in your place, so that the wrath of God, the anger of God, were to be on that animal instead of on you. And therefore it's a place of anger, but it's also a place of mercy where you can receive forgiveness. And therefore, as the Lord roars, how could people deal with their sin? Where could they go? They've got to go to Jerusalem, but that's where he's roaring from. You see, you've got to go to the lion's den. You've got to go towards him in order to be forgiven. Now, what about for us? Where do we go? Well, we don't go to the temple, but we go to the place that the temple points to, the ultimate place where wrath and mercy meet, the cross of Jesus. Because there on the cross, Jesus died taking the anger of God for you and me. And therefore, we can go to him and have our sin dealt with. See, maybe you're running away from God at the moment. Maybe you're aware of your sin. Maybe you're in fear of God now. That you know that you're a sinner and that he's a holy God and that he's a roaring lion. And therefore, maybe you're tempted to keep running away from him. But that is not the solution. The thing that we need to do is to come to God, to come to Jesus. It's the only way we can have our sin dealt with. And God's promise is in 1 John that if we bring our sin to him, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The only way to be safe is to come to God with our sin. So yes, the Lord roars. Yes, we should fear him, but that fear should not drive us away from God, but drive us to God and to ask him for mercy. And he promises that he will give it. I'm going to lead us in a prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray, please, that you would help us to see you as you truly are, to know that you are a holy God, that you are to be feared. And we pray, please, that you would help us to see ourselves as we really are, to see you as you really are, and not then to run from you, but to turn to you and ask you for forgiveness. And Father, we praise you that in your mercy and grace, you promise to give it through the death of Jesus. Amen.